What up, though? You are tuning in to What Works For Us, the Black Queer Lifestyle Podcast,
where we'll discuss everything black and queer,
mental health,
relationships,
art,
fashion.
We take it back our culture, y'all. Carry my city like some shoulder pads and strap. Evidently, I've been killing. Hey.
Hey.
Hey. You ready to do our thing? You ready to do our 1-2?
I'm ready.
Okay. You are now listening to What Works For Us. All Black.
All Queer.
All Black.
Happy Mental Health Awareness Month.
Why are you looking along like that? Like you waiting for me to
because I didn't know. I'm just like, I don't know where he was going. So I was just like, I'll just throw that in there.
You was ready for me to go somewhere.
Yeah, so I'm just like, but okay, whatever.
Y'all, excuse my one eye. I just got finished eating some Cajun crabs and mussels. And I thought I had wiped my whole hand, but then I rubbed my eye.
Oh my goodness.
And I think I got some seasoning in my eyes. So,
oh my goodness.
Excuse that. But it was good though. What was it? Crawfish Shack, something like that. Crab Shack.
Okay. Mm-mm-mm. Austin has a new sushi restaurant at the Domain.
A new one? I don't want to sound no kind of way, but they're putting in a lot of different Asian inspired restaurants at the Domain. It's a lot of them.
Remember that pamphlet that they put out and they said that's what we would see when we went to the Domain.
Right, more Asians. Well, they clearly is making sure that that's the kind of food that would be there. Mm-hmm. But, okay, Domain. Because I ain't seen no crab shack at the Domain.
Okay.
They'd probably be like, hell no. Like,
right. That would be cute if Quay can get, what's your face? What's his name? Quay? Mm-hmm. That'd be cute if his crab place can get there at the Domain.
You think they'd let blame it on Quay?
No.
No.
No. But it would be cute if they did. Well, he could come on out. He can come to the downtown Pflugerville domainish area.
Oh, baby, yes. That's gonna be the hood one. They're gonna have a chicken and waffle, a wingding spot. They're gonna have a crab spot. If you go through Pflugerville, baby, you got about 5 chicken spots, baby. You can't say you can't find no chicken in Pflugerville, Texas.
No. Not at all. Somebody on YouTube, she was like, she calls it Chocolate City. She was like, it's Chocolate City in Austin. I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, Pflugerville, right?
Yeah, Pflugerville. Pflugerville. Yeah, not Austin. Not at all.
With Emerson, everybody who's watching us on Facebook know what time it is. All our listeners who are listening to us on whatever podcast platform they like to shellax on, know what time it is. It is time to check in. I can go first, I guess. I'm excited. This is our episode 70. You know, we keep reaching all these milestones.
I know, 70 episodes. Oh my gosh.
That's exciting. I'm just like, oh my God. We have been really consistent to keep going, 2 years in the making, but this is exciting, episode 70. What have I been up to? What yesterday particularly was ballroom heavy day for me. I watched exhibition ball by Pose. It was on YouTube. It was on like across FX networks. Mm-hmm. My sister, Erica Lavin, Mother ATL, she was walking. She ended up winning.
Oh.
I really liked it because most of the time, since the corona happened last year, COVID-19, a lot of ballroom went to like Bego and other like kind of social media kind of apps and platforms. So it was a lot of virtual balls. And I really haven't been able to get into it like that. I just really just wasn't, I never thought I would watch one all the way through. Mm-hmm. It just didn't feel the same to me. So most of last year, I didn't watch any of the virtual balls. I know Bego was really... Have you been on Bego Live yet? Mm-mm. Yeah, I know a lot of people is on Bego and people like a lot of ballroom, people making money over there. and they were hosting a lot of virtual balls. Mm-hmm. So yesterday was actually my first time watching a whole virtual ball on TV, like on YouTube. And it wasn't that bad. I mean, it had the issues that I think I knew I was going to feel about watching a virtual ball, that you really can't see them compete. The computer going to be lagging. Even with an FX production, it still had it glitches being, you know, a live, you know, YouTube ball, right? It still had like going to people's houses all over the country, you know what I'm saying? So it still had its glitches. But overall, it was pleasant. I really enjoyed it because I was looking at their house. Like some of the people were like walking down subways. So The whole thing was, because it's a virtual ball, you have to make your background, or you have to kind of serve it in a way because you're not walking at a ball.
Kind of so like the fashion shows are now. You have to give it that type of, yeah.
So one of the guys, he was walking. So Runway, that was my favorite. One of the guys was walking in like, I don't know what city he was in, but it was like a old alley, like a bunch of graffiti, like one of those enclave alleys, or I don't know what it was, but it was graffiti, and he was just walking and strutting up and down. It was such a cute background, and you could see real life people walking, so you know it was live and stuff. One person was walking through a hotel. Like when I say they walked through the hotel, they walked through the lobby, walked through the hotel room, up and down the hallway. They were just really serving it in the hallway. Now, one person did walk in their apartment hallway, and that didn't really go over well with the judges and stuff, because they were like bouncing off the wall because there wasn't that much room to And so that was funny. Because you could literally see them hitting the wall as they walking, like bouncing up. But they were walking fierce. But I felt like, okay, you know that you're on national TV, a first time a ball has been on network, you know, through a network production, and you know it's virtual, and you go walk in your apartment, and then one of the person was coming out the room, and their face was all in the camera. Like, so the doors was closed. It was literally the apartment hallway. So the doors was closed. And so as she's pumping, somebody opened the door. They peek in to see if she, now mind you, you can see this across millions of people is watching this. Somebody's peeking to see if they still walking. Then they come all the way out and they just stand in the hallway while this person walking.
Why would you do better? Like, it's no excuse for that. I mean, unless you are on house arrest, you could go outside. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could do something. You didn't have to do it. Like, I'm going to sit here and do it in my apartment. Why? You could go anywhere and walk. Like, all the other people got creative with it. Why would you even think? My apartment would be the last place I'm thinking I'm walking.
Because you can't do too much walking. Right. Unless you got some space.
Yeah, no. I would have been outside somewhere. Why not? We could go outside. You might not can't go to a venue, but the other person got creative and went to a hotel. Girl, okay. I see why they said something. I would have been looking like, why?
But it was fun. It was just really great to see Pose, you know, being somebody, you know, I always talk about it from ballroom for such a long time. It was really good to see FX do that. Then Stephen Canal got on there, the writer, producer, and a creator of Pose. You know, so I just really like how he's really giving, he's paying it forward to the ballroom community. Because, you know, the big question now, with Pose being the last season and ballroom has become this thing, like, would it be sustained? Would this just a fad? Would it go away? How are we going to maintain ballroom at this level? You know, Pose going away. We got Legendary still, but is it going to come back? You know, so the question is, what's next? And I just really enjoyed how basically they were, you know, like Steve Canal was saying that he's hoping that this is the beginning and not the, you know, he doesn't for a second, this is the end. So that was really good. Pose was really good. Two episodes. It's bittersweet because, you know, the biggest groundbreaking show of all time, you know, the first of so many, you know, for Black, queer, and trans people, the first for ballroom, is ending, you know, after 3 years. Did you? I think we talked about that Janet Mock letter, did we? Or that wasn't you?
I don't think.
Janet Mock wrote a letter.
I think we talked about it, but not in detail. I think you might have mentioned it.
Yeah, it was scandalous. It was scandalous, but I ain't gonna get into it. Yeah, it's been a lot of Jenny Ma hate. So I'm just sending, actually, instead of sending hate, I want to just send love to Jenny Ma. You know, sometimes you gotta be real and everybody ain't gonna like that, but I think she was real and she said what she said. So, I mean, take it or leave it, you know, and it was Jenny Ma, right? Everybody don't have to come all, you know, we put these images on these celebrities as if, and maybe they put them on themselves as if they're not human. Or they don't have multi, you know, emotional size to them. And I think Jenny Ma just showed that, you know, she's human and, as you know, nice and put together, we want to think she is. She like the rest of us that be going through shit. So
she always puts what she writes, how she feels in writing, though. She's like a modern day, like Ida B. Wells. Like, she just puts it in writing, because when she went off on Charlemagne, she did it in writing. She didn't, you know, so she seems like she always puts her stuff in writing. That's kind of classy.
Yeah, it is. So yeah, I did. So Pose, I know I'm wrapping it up. So I just really, my whole check-in will be about yesterday, but I mean, it was such a great day in ballroom. But then my kids had a ball. Austin had his first ball of the year. And shout out to my new prince and princess of the Austin chapter of my Kiki House of Marciano. They, Malik and Justice Marciano, they did really good. We brought home some trophies. I was getting texts and calls and tags about how the Austin Marcies are not here to play.
Oh.
So I'm just excited that they were able to make that statement. And I wasn't there, but you know, we were prepared for this. And so they made me proud of all the pictures. You know, I was posting them all day.
Oh.
Right. So yeah, ballroom was really interesting for me because, you know, as I'm wrapping this up, I left for a while and, you know, to come back and just in doing all this in the midst of like what's next for ballroom, I think it's a very pivotal place we are for Black queerness, period. We have never been so visible before across from your girl, Let Me See You Walk.
Saucy.
So Saucy, you know, we talk about her, to Lil Nas X, to Legendary, to Pose, to everything in between that's going on with like queer and trans people, Black people. So it's us, you know, like whatever, we're part of that movement too. And so it's just exciting. It's a great time to be a content creator, because a lot of the bullshit is happening and a lot of doors are opening, so we can really tell our stories like we talked about. So
that part,
right? It's a lot of bullshit. So we got stories. How couldn't we?
Yeah, no, I'm happy. Yeah, I'm happy that they're taking it to another level. You know what I'm saying? It's good to see like the progression from what it was when I was the young whippersnapper's age. Now they got a whole different thing. They on TV and doing things. You know what I'm saying? It's always, to see that elevation is always good. So yeah, I'm happy to hear that. And it is a great time to be a content creator and a gay content creator, because we need to have stuff documented telling our stories. We don't want to be like back in the day, you know, Billie Holiday's best friend. You know what I'm saying? We don't want to be somebody they try to erase from history. You know what I'm saying? But they're not going to be able to do that. We have too much content now. So I'm happy to see
it. But it's so weird though, because to think about how we exist now and think about how media has portrayed our existence. Based on what you just said, we've always been here.
Yeah.
Even if we wasn't able to be open, we've always been open in family. We've always been open in community, always been like, everybody has always known the gay people. And just think about what you were just saying, not just even Billie the Holiday best friend, just period.
Well, all of them, right? So all of them, yeah.
Yeah, when you just think about just in general, like the way we don't have, I mean, you got to do archive to find really rich stories and pictures and narratives and, you know, existence of like Black queer people post 1980. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's almost like we wasn't there or something.
Right.
We wasn't there. We didn't exist. It's funny how history can do that. It can literally erase your history by omitting you. Because if it's not documented, it didn't happen.
Yeah, it didn't happen.
That's crazy. But yeah. but that's why you're doing what you're doing. So what's popping with you?
Honestly, I don't, it's the same old for me. My brain is like uber tired, like it has always been, but, you know, it'll be worth it in the end. So I can say, as far as me, I honestly don't have anything new going on. Same old,
Lil' Kim got a new book coming out.
That's my sister. She has a book coming out. I don't have, no shade to Kim. I mean, shout out to her, but she has a book coming out. I mean, yay, in November. So that's something that's coming up, but I mean, I don't really have anything going on. I've been kind of just seeing stuff here, seeing stuff there. I was talking to Tariq about the Saweetie performance. I guess I can do pop culture. I live vicariously through everybody else. So I seen that, and somebody was reading Saweetie, and
let's be on that. We could use that as your check-in about, you know, it started with Queen Naija. Like, okay, you come out with your record, you come out with these songs, and you're performing, you want to have fans, you name your fans, you do this, you do that, and then you're going to say you're going to start having singing lessons.
We're on video. You can always find the clip, and we can play it so you can see it. And the audience can see it. Hold on. I'll send you the link, but go ahead, keep talking. I'm going to find
it. Go put it in the chat box.
Yeah.
So the whole point of that, so my thing is, you're gonna take my money, make me a fan, and you know you can't sing. You know what I'm saying? And the thing with Saweetie, you were saying that she was horrible. A lot of people was dragging her about this performance she did with Doja a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
They were dragging her, and so her response to that is that she's going to performance boot camp. Well, before you come out with music, before you come out with two, don't you think you should do that first? Why are you trying to convince me you're an artist when you know you still need artist boot camp? Go to artist boot camp and then come holler at me to sell your album or something. Like, why would you? It's almost like it goes to this whole sympathy and payola, like Cardi B. Like, I wrote my song. Why do you feel the need to do a video telling us you wrote a rap?
It was like a press conference. It's like
it was a press conference. Cardi B wrote a song.
I'm like, really? Are we really doing that now? Like, I mean, I understand. Listen, you know, my sissy, they, you know, all people always talk about how she didn't write her shit and da 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 da. You know, so I see why some women might feel like they have to defend it, but I mean, that's just ridiculous. You just have to do a press conference like, yeah, I wrote that song. Like, that's just so, like we saw yesterday, so disrespectful to the rap game, to all the people who, you know, just really be writing their shit, and all the female rappers who aren't even as popular who write their shit. You know what I'm saying? It's second nature. You got these people who have all these writers, and when they write a song, they want you to have a parade for them. That's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous, because as a rapper, you should be writing as a hip hop artist. You know what I'm saying? Or just rapping. That's a part of the cult. That's a part of the talent, you know, to be able to rap your words or rap your flow. And if you're not a writer, okay. But for you to get, like you said, a press conference that you wrote a song that you coming out with, that don't make sense. That's your song, sis.
Right.
We care that you wrote. You should automatically wrote it. Like, why should you get a bonus point that you actually wrote a song that you coming out with? I could understand maybe if it was a song that she did for somebody else, you know, that she wanted to, you know, I'm a songwriter now. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's just, sis, you rapping those words. You should have wrote it. Like, that's not something that you need to announce to the world. But
and
yes,
sometimes they don't write sometimes they don't, and they have help. I'm not, you know, I know they've all had help, so it's fine. I think when they do have help, or at least when they had help back in the day, I think they still had something good to bring to the table to collaborate with somebody else to help them out. Like, I think they, like you said, what did you say about her yesterday? Oh my gosh. You said that she was hooked on, first of all, I think you said it was hooked on phonics, And then you said something else that she did. You said so many horrible things about her in that rap. I think it was Hooked on Phonics one. That wasn't even the one, though. You said one worse than that. I'll just keep with the Hooked on Phonics. But these Hooked on Phonics raps, I mean, girl. So y'all really need somebody to come through and doctor y'all shit up, because what y'all be talking about ain't nothing. So, yeah, I mean, but the babies like it. They like it. And I think it's just the set that, you know, like what it was when we were coming up, and y'all music is trash. You know what I'm saying? It's all about the 80s, or, you know what I'm saying? It might be the same thing, but I don't know. I kind of disagree. Cause I was like, even from 80s to 90s, it was still quality. There was quality in the 80s. There was quality in the 90s. I mean, some of the same artists were still coming out with music in the 80s and the 90s, and was still having number one albums and stuff like that. Now the trend is totally different. We got a whole new breed of people. So it's a whole new situation. So,
and it's not about not being at that level yet, right? It's like, we know artists have to go through artist development. We know that, yeah. Even in our craft, like even what you're doing, right? I'm saying, you do all the amount of training you take, all the due diligence you're putting in, all the pre-work that you're doing, even me behind the scenes, a lot of stuff that I want to do that I haven't done, you know, it's all like learning lessons, you know, stepping stone to move on. And that's my thing. So it's not that we, like for me, that I'm like looking at, and I use Saweetie more so than Cardi, because Cardi really has had time to, I think she really keeps herself at a certain level because that's her fan base. I mean, that's her gimp, that's her thing. She wants to kind of be this ignorant thing. And I'm not saying that because I don't think she really is. I think she has come to a different level of money, a different level of knowing the game. Like you said, you've seen her do interviews. She's not as dumb as the image she's trying to sell.
No, she's not.
Yeah. And so I definitely feel like she's keeping herself in that kind of framework for people. That's what people like about her. If she polished herself up too much,
And she would lose all them Anglo, because they like that.
Like all that. So she has to stay, you know, like, or doing press conferences that she wrote a song, real basic like shit. I'll use Saweetie though as someone, okay, she's just not there yet, right? And that's okay, but like, you are not about to be in these rap songs like You That Bitch. And then you talking about you going to performance boot camp. Like, that, if that's not fraudulent, I don't know what is. Like, you can't do that. You need to already be there if you there and you saying that. I need you to be in boot camp behind the closed doors, already ready. You should be at boot camp from the one award show to the next. Why are you making an announcement that you about to go to performance boot camp after you performed? Like, what is that?
Right. And we supposed to commend that. That's like, my thing. Like, we supposed to be like, she's going to performance boot camp. What? She's a performer. Like, what? And she already has stuff out. She already has like top 10 single or whatever. You know what I'm saying? She's already been on the charts. Like, what are we talking about? Like, I was thinking about her the other day. I'm like, she actually even had, like, you know, she had songs with, but she had a song with Lil Wayne that didn't go nowhere. And I'm not trying to hold her music career. I'm just saying, like, she's been through a couple of cycles in her career, even though she is still new. But, you know, her due diligence behind the scene, she's been doing this for a minute now. And if she ain't got nothing right, she could have had her performance right. You, girl, you ain't got nothing but time to be sitting at home while you be doing all those YouTube videos. I mean, not Instagram videos and stuff like that. You should be trying to get your performance or do something. Like, look at Chloe.
Mm-hmm.
Look at her. I'm just saying, like, I mean, she's singing covers, so she's, you know, and she's doing it in front of a camera. You know what I'm saying? I feel like she's getting, so when she comes to the table, she gonna be already ready. She dances still. She, you know, she let us know she a hoochie. She's doing all these things I feel like this is all a preview of what we about to get. So I feel like she gonna come to the table. Beyonce ain't gonna let her not come to the table not ready, but she gonna come ready. Like, They like I said before, they throw these girls out there to make it seem like, you said, that they're these bad bitches, but they have not lived that lifestyle. And King of Ree said the same thing you said. You and King of Ree say a lot of the same shit. But King of Ree said the same thing. He was like, Saweetie, he was like, I think that you're just getting by because you're light-skinned. He was like, because I have not seen anything. He's like, nothing you talk about, I have seen yet. I haven't seen any of it, girl. He's like, I haven't seen the performance. I haven't seen any of your raps. I haven't seen that you're talented. He was like, so I'm still waiting. Like, girl, only thing you showed me is that you're an attractive woman.
Yeah. I mean, and that's just my thing. You have to we all got our phase, right? That's it yeah. is what it is. But you got to come with something. Something has to set you apart, and it's just becoming ridiculous at the low standard in entertainment. The standard has become so low because of TikTok and all that. And I know we sound old. We sound like some aunties that they would say, the housewives. But it is. It's just not. You can't make me buy that we should praise someone who's publicly saying they're going to boot camp when they're charging people to come see them. Like, I'm not buying that. That's not fair.
No, and my thing, and I sound like auntie, but I'm talking about Chloe. Chloe's a baby. No. Or I give people like her props when her's not an entertainer, but she had stage presence. Like, one of the first performances I seen her, what was it, BET? She had this stage presence. It was, you know, it was unique to her, but it was a stage presence. It looked like she was very comfortable on stage. Yes. Like, so I'm giving praise to the babies. I give praise to the babies when I see talent, but I mean, you coming out, girl, you trying to do freestyles, you trying to do all this stuff to prove, and you haven't proven yourself. So you're showing, you're the prime example of what I be talking about with them bitches. They throwing them out here and they don't live those lifestyles. They live those lifestyles and be dealing with niggas and getting Birkins after they've already gotten deals and signing contracts. That's when they start living that lifestyle. They wasn't living that life before. That's why when they rap that shit, it don't sound natural. It don't sound true to them because they're not living it. Now, I think Kyrisha and JT could probably come out with some raps and talk about some shit. Now, I bet you their next album, they got plenty of content. So I would love to hear what they talk about now because they living the life now. Now they living the life. Even though their first album, they were ratchet. Their first album, that was a ratchet.
Yeah, they were talking about scamming and stuff.
Yeah, that was different. It was different. So
they were true to who they were.
They were true because they, right, they were very ratchet. Because they went over my head. When I first heard Kyrisha, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Oh, you know what I'm saying? I was like, oh, wait a minute. That's a little too raw. So I take that back. But now it is different. So now they can start talking about things and, you know, talk about more, you know, I'm that bitch type shit because both of them are living that. And Saweetie did too with her man. But yeah. No, that's not what I saw. Somebody else saw something else. So I don't know what performance. I guess I didn't watch that whole thing, but it was something else I saw. I'm about to find that one. But I mean, that was better than what I saw. The one I saw, she was on the floor trying to do something and she looked a mess. But I don't know. I guess that's what we got now.
That's what we got now. So I know, so we're going to spread love to all you girls. We all are at different stages. I've just been devil's advocate. But sympathy and payola don't live here. Mm. We all got to come up and do our due diligence. And that's for even me. Did you think, you know, like, girl, give me a multi-million dollar book deal, girl? Shoot, I'm already there. I could go to writing's boot camp. I could do that afterwards. Give me the deal first, okay? And then I learn how to write better. But I know one of our topics, and I don't think we really had a full-on conversation about this in a while. You know, I love when we go back to our wellness topics because, you know, we are a podcast that talk about just really what it is about, you know, what works for the, you know, Black queer experience. And wellness is always, you know, a part of that. And, you know, you have really been a good champion in that, like all your different wellness, you know, over the length of the podcast, you've brought a lot of different stuff around wellness to the show. So it is May. So this is Mental Health Awareness Month. So we really just wanted to like make that topic a little bit, focus on that topic for this episode and really around the mindset of like mental health action. Our organization that we're a part of, West in the Mirror, is teaming up with MTV and several organizations across the country to really move from awareness to action around mental health. And they've come up with this day titled Mental Health Action Day, which will be on May 20th. And West in the Mirror is a founding partner of this day. And so we really want to just talk about, I mean, our own experience around what it means to take action, you know, with our mental health or for our mental health, but also like, you know, what it looks like institutionally, what it looks like communally, like, you know, when we see, because I wanted to ask you about, because I don't think you and I talked much about, I guess we can really start But I have a question with you around the Red Table Talk versus the what Taraji do, her mental health. What's the name of her show?
Oh, I forget the name of Taraji's.
Okay, yeah. So Taraji has a mental health awareness show. Or even we could throw Tamar's podcast in there. What's the name of hers?
Tamar Reconstructor.
Under Construction.
Under Construction, yeah.
And so, like, all of these podcasts in some kind of way is definitely bringing mental health awareness to, like, Black lifestyle and media, especially in a virtual or digital media. With a podcast show, with, you know, a Facebook watch TV show, not TV show, but a Facebook watch talk show. And Taraji's is both podcast and, is it on Facebook watch? It's on one of those. I don't know if
she's on Facebook watch too?
She's on something. It might not be Facebook watch. Looking at her TV show. So what do you think about, like, these celebrities, these names using their platforms, and probably in a medium that they're usually not, right? They're not usually in this, especially like the Red Table. Like we talk about the Red Table Talk. The Red Table Talk do be talking about some shit that doesn't get highlighted at that level
in
Black digital media. And I know that's your real, I know you know a little bit about what they are doing in their real life. How you feel about that being like a mental health action in our community?
Just them having those type of forums for people to talk about mental health. Mm-hmm. I definitely think it's a start.
And it's influence.
As an influence. Yeah, I think it's a great influence. I definitely think it's a start. It definitely could go, you know, we have definitely much more space and room and opportunity to do more, but at least, you know, I'm not trying to say, you know, like they're not doing anything, because they are. That's something to do. So yeah, I think it's good. If they're having those real conversations to a degree. But I'm gonna be honest, and I hate to, you know, sum up, like, you know, Will and Jada, you know, they cool, but they got people's hands in a cookie jar. So I feel like they can only go so far when they talk about stuff. Like when they did talk about the Snoop Dogg thing, they did try to go there, but they did not go there. Like, my thing is, I'm ready for somebody just to go there, just talk some real shit.
What?
With the Snoop Dogg thing, where Snoop Dogg called Gail a bitch. They went there, you know, they went there, and I love Gam. I love Gam though. And maybe I should listen to her podcast, because maybe she goes there. I'm about to listen to Gam podcast. But Gam, I think, wanted to go there. But I think Jada and, you know, then Iyanla came on the show, and I'm like, girl, you know, I just, you know, so I don't, sometimes I guess I'm saying I don't trust their platforms, because I haven't listened to Taraji's. Now, Taraji's thing, like with Tamar, what they did is, they, you know, she has a real, I think, like, clinician, her friend that's a part of her nonprofit is like actually like a real clinician. So I think hers might be a little bit more legit. Hers might not be as Hollywood, political,
tabloid,
yeah, that type of stuff. So I think the different forms of it is great. I guess I'm going to answer a question. I think it's great. It's just, you know, some of them might side eye, but again, you know, that's just the start. So yeah, that's good.
Yeah, and Taraji's show is on Facebook Watch. It's called Peace of Mind with Taraji.
Okay.
So, yeah, I agree with you, right? I mean, there is stark differences in the shows, right? I think, you know, even with the Red Table Talk, the undertone is to really just have conversations about stuff that is happening in your personal life and community and all of that. Now, I definitely agree around, like, necessarily where those conversations end up, or who is driving those conversations, meaning the result of what we see and hear as an entertainment value.
Yeah.
But I think, like you said, the start of it, that we're at a point where tabloid could be talked about. Because that's one thing they've gotten right in that way, that a dialogue can happen around scandalous topics that people either would be like, for Wendy, it would be what's her little segment at the beginning?
Oh, Hot Topics.
A hot topic, but bringing a hot topic to actual dialogue where people can respond. You're like, Wendy don't want people to actually be able to defend themselves on those hot topics, right? Or,
yeah,
you know, she right. would invite them. Like, that would change the whole thing with hot topics. People, you know, so I think what I do appreciate about that show is that it does kind of show us that you really can't have those very, very, very hard conversations that can ruin marriages, can ruin lives, can ruin, you know, families and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I think that's what, so I think all of them is showing that we can talk about mental health. So that's why I think I agree with you in a way that, and it's getting out of the clinical sense of these conversations. You know, I know at Western Amira, one of our big movement in the work that we do is moving away from mental health to mental wellness, where that mental health isn't all just a clinical setting that you have to just be with a therapist or you just have to be with a counselor. You know, we really try to push the idea of peer support groups, of, you know, panels, of, you know, yoga instructors, of just regular people being able to discuss and tell their lived experience and stuff like that, and the intersectionality of mental health, right? Like talking to women, you know, talking to men, talking to children, talking to people living with HIV, talking to older people, talking to, we're not all the same with mental health. So I think those podcasts, or people around the block, around the, not that the block, just people in, even on YouTube. So I know, are there more different like kind of shows on YouTube that you draw, that you're drawn to personally outside of those kind of mainstream? I know there's some clinicians you really rock with.
Yep, Dr. Shauna. I listened to one, her on Sunday, and it was a word. Like some of the, where she went with that show, remember, it was one of those episodes that YouTube start making it go fuzzy. But she like, you already know what they doing. You already know why it's going fuzzy, because she went there. But it was good. And I think she's actually a therapist. So she's a PhD. She's actually a therapist. She ain't somebody who just, you know, gave herself a title or so, you know, no shade to life coach or anything like that. Because I think I would benefit from a life coach, but certified life coach. But Charles is very, she actually does do that as work. Like she has a practice, her own practice and stuff like that. So they do actually have YouTube pages that are actually like that. And Dr. Shauna actually was talking to the Black community about Farrakhan's. I didn't actually listen to Farrakhan's speech at DMX's funeral, but he was just talking about legacy in the Black community. And he was talking about how a lot of just Black people as a collective, we're dead. And like, what, we're not passing anything on. It's like we're just being born, and it's like we're reproducing, but we're not leaving, which is not all the way true, but he was saying as a collective, not individually. Mm-hmm. So she went there and got, really went deep into it. It was really good. So you can find people like that online too. It's kind of, once you look at one person like that though, you know, of course YouTube will start showing you more people. So there's definitely resources on YouTube for people like that you can talk to that's very helpful, or could be helpful to you depending on what you're going through.
Yeah, and I think that's really important because a lot of people are on YouTube. A lot of people are, you know, all these podcasts. A lot of people are on Instagram. And even the, you know, the famous, you know, everybody's famous for something now, right? Everybody's a guru of mental health, of all these different things. Even, like I said, I think on one of our podcasts, the Nap Ministry. That's still one of my favorite social media platforms on Instagram. And I told you, it's just a page about the revolutionary act of taking a nap, you know, about resting, how resting is an act that we were born, a right that we were born with, that, you know, different societal or Western norms have taken that away from us. Like, you know, to rest is to be lazy, to rest is to be unproductive, to rest is to be anti-successful, right?
I heard that's American thing too, because I heard in other countries like they PTO and stuff like that, or how people, other companies offer their like employees like rest, like they be having like months of time that they can take off and stuff like that. So I've heard that that's like just an American thing for this, you know, you got to work hard and work 24 hours a day and don't sleep, and that's Steve Harvey stuff, which I've never subscribed to. I'm gonna get my sleep. Y'all can be up here looking like some damn zombies if you want to. I'm gonna stay juicy and get my rest.
You love that juicy. Yeah, I mean, and I have, and you know, that's always a constant struggle with me. I would say in my later years, or this year, definitely 2021 has taught me that rest is my friend. Like, you know, and I could do a lot, but I have not been anti-rest. Like I've really evolved from that And not to say that I never get caught up in not getting enough rest, but that's not my ministry. That yeah. I feel like I have to do this to be some. I feel like a lot of people, like once you see a lot of successful people, they're getting their rest.
Hell yeah, they are.
They're managing their time.
Yeah.
You know, and I think if we really change the mindset of time management and rest, like those are two secret weapons. Those are some powerful tools to be able to do. If you can manage your time and get your rest, you're like almost unstoppable. Like what can't you do with adequate amount of time and adequate amount of rest? like get money, find niggas, like whatever you need, because you're gonna have the rest and the time to do it.
Absolutely.
And that's the best place to be, because, and whatever that time is, that time does not have a number. It's not a certain number, because again, time management and rest works itself out. And I think that's a really, really good formula that I think would, you know, would help with a lot of us from moving from awareness to action. Really did for me personally. I think so. That's what I'm trying to do. That's what I'm subscribing to. That's my ministry. At my age and my, you know, 35th year on this earth, I'm like, I need both. Like if I was top tier on time management and rest, Emerson, you wouldn't be able to tell me nothing. It wouldn't be nothing I couldn't do. I truly believe that. And I'm trying to like go through the ideas of what could slip through the crack with, but I'm like, with enough rest and enough time, how?
No, I guess, you know, yeah, I'm glad that they do that. Cause you know, I think the last time we talked about this, I actually know somebody who goes to a sleep coach. So I just did, you know, it's, and this person said one time they stayed up. I don't even want to say, cause it's unbelievable. And I could be wrong. It was the number 9 though, I believe. They stayed up for several days straight. They did not sleep. So she definitely has an issue with sleeping. But she's like a hard worker like you. She's like one of those people like you. They just keep working. I'm like, oh my gosh, no. I'm just like, no, I have to stop. I have to go lay in the bed like Mariah Carey. Like, I guess I'm the lazier of, I'm part of the lazy people in a country who don't do shit. All you want to do is sleep and lay in the bed like Mariah Carey. I be needing my time, shit. But I see it since we're talking about self-care.
When do you sleep though? You say that. I'm like, when do you sleep?
I sleep regular. I don't sleep regular hours, but because my schedule is not regular. But no, I do get about 6 hours of sleep, at least 6 a night. I do sleep. I just do it weird. Like I might sleep. A lot of people like, you couldn't sleep till 12 o'clock in the afternoon. I can, but I'll be up till 7 o'clock in the morning. I get off work and be up till 7 o'clock in the morning doing all kinds of stuff. And then, you know, like that people do during the day. So that's why, like, I respond to emails and stuff. Sometimes I'll be sending emails like, oh, they're gonna see the timestamp. Like, why are you sending me emails 3:30 in the morning? But the same girl who was talking about go to sleep coach, she had made a post about that too. She was just talking, they was talking about how people who don't get up early, like I said, they're considered lazy. But I sent her a message. I was like, well, no. I was like, because I'm just not wired. Right now, I'm not wired to operate in the morning. My brain just don't be on in the morning. It turns on later in the day. That's when I start picking up. In the morning, I'm just like, I don't really have much to offer you in the morning. I'm thinking as I'm going up in dynasties, I'm realizing it's a selfish time for me. It's like it's selfish. It's almost like, this is my time. I ain't got nothing really off to nobody else. Like, you know, it's me, download time. You might send me something sometime and I might not respond as fast. It's because I'm not wired. It's like, okay, this is kind of my time right now, but I'm gonna get to it later. I know that's not good, but it's just how I'm wired. And I'm just starting to notice that as I get older. And it might change as time changes, but I know for me, me having that time that's just for me to kind of just be and don't really have a whole bunch of things in my mind, and I can just really sit and be, you know, I can download stuff, is essential. Since we're talking about mental health actions.
Yeah. And that's for me at night, really. Like, I just love like that from 11 to 2 o'clock hour. It's like, I don't know. Like, at that point, the day is over. I feel like that's when I can finally just be like, the day is over. You know what I'm saying? And I could snack if I want to, cocktail if I want to, just relax and watch TV. I can be on the phone if I want to. I can talk to my kids. I can chit-chat with you all night. I can just be free, you know. One of the things, like, my partner goes to bed before that time. And I, even before then, though, that was always my pocket, that 11 to 2. That's just my pocket. And then even if I fall asleep earlier, if I fall asleep maybe 2:30, you know, a little later, you know what I'm saying? You know, the balance. But it's just, and I think it is an age thing. It's so weird that I, like I said, I, you know, I've been watching the Housewives stuff and a little bit, this whole auntie thing and this, just this whole auntie thing. And I'm just like, it is something with the age thing for me. Like, I, like, for example, like right now, like in a lot of cases, like today was a Monday. Monday, I always have something I could be working on, right? That's not never like, oh, you don't have something. I always have something looming over my head, which is always so freaking annoying.
Who you telling? Oh my gosh. It sucks to always have something looming. I mean, actually, no, it doesn't. It doesn't, because if I think about, not to cut you off, but I just think about times where it was, I sometimes go back and like, when I didn't have anything going on, I'm like, damn, when I didn't have nothing going on, I could just be doing nothing. But I was like, but now I have all this stuff in my head. But along with all this stuff that's coming in your head, and you could definitely speak to this, comes a lot of new stuff, like opportunities and stuff. So, but go ahead.
No, yeah, that's it. It's just always, you're always on in a lot of ways. And I feel like, I forgot where I was going with that.
Yeah, I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry.
No, I was just trying to think what I was saying about, so I always have something to do when I wake up in the morning. But today, like, I didn't have a first client. For those who might not have known, I don't know if I probably did share on the show that I'm a certified mental health peer support specialist. And so I offer peer support to community members, mostly like, homeless youth and young adults under the age of 27. Most of them are usually from the foster care system or whatever capacity, but that is what I do throughout the week. So some days I don't have a client until later in the afternoon. Like, I might have some stuff I could be working on. You know what I'm just saying? Like today, like, I really didn't have nothing. My first meeting was at 12 o'clock, basically. So, yes, it was a lot of stuff I could be working on, a lot of stuff, but I was just thinking like, oh, so I rested until 10 o'clock, but then I felt guilty. So that's why I've been trying to make sure I go to bed before 2 o'clock. I think we talk about mental health action. I think the conversation that you and I are having around when I bring it up rest and time, like you were just saying, and that whole thing, let me be clear, time management and rest is not, I'm not at the high level. That's why I said if I was top tier, you wouldn't be able to stop me. I'm nowhere near top tier, right? I'm just not getting maybe above the first tier because I'm just realizing how much rest I need and how much time management is important. I might figure out time management first, though. That has always, I had to learn that a lot quicker because, you know, and now adding rest in that. And so I think I'm just at a place. And I think when people say what's my action or what's self-care, I'm really trying to figure out what really works for me around rest and time management. I think it makes my mind feel so much at ease when I know that I've given myself holistic permission to turn off. Even if it's never really true, even if it's never really true that like at 11 o'clock my gay kids could FaceTime me, or I get an email that comes through, or I know I have something to do tomorrow by 2 p.m. I'm just learning on how to really give myself permission to actually rest, to actually lay in a bed, to actually watch some TV and on a pillow and still be all those different things I am. And it's really hard and not feel like I'm being lazy, almost feeling like it's my right. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And you can't tell me otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. So that's one thing around mental health. What else are some actions you think that you like, that you take or that you recommend that people can do?
The one that's top of my list that I've been talking about all over my Instagram page, if you've been on it, is getting dressed, getting fully dressed, getting out of those joggers, getting out of those athleisure outfits and uniforms, getting fully dressed. That is actually something that honestly, and you know, you've been over here sometimes and you've caught me in track pants. So it's not like I'm not guilty of it, but it's something I'm fixing now. Just I'm more cognizant of it. Even if I don't, like I'm looking for things like, okay, like I was looking at Monica Page the other day. I was like, oh yeah, that's some cute loungewear to wear around the house, even though that's loungewear. But yeah. Even still just putting more effort into looking like something around the house. So even if I need to step out and go to the grocery store, which is all I do, I can at least look cute while I'm doing it. I don't look like I have to run through the store. I don't want nobody to see me because sometimes I see people at that Round Rock HEB and I don't want nobody to see me because I'm looking all toe up. Like, no, that's actually frustrating. And it is, people might not think that's a mental thing and some people get used to it. But I think, just on a serious note, I think that with this whole panoramic and this situation that's going on, people are going to be more prone to keep on pulling to those joggers and athleisure uniforms. And I think that we have to get out of that. We have to start getting like dressed because it does make you feel better just being dressed. Yeah, it can be uncomfortable maybe sometimes if you wear certain stuff around the house, like me wearing jeans around the house. Sometimes I'm like, I don't feel comfortable like laying around like Mariah Carey because it's just like, I feel like I'm in clothes I would wear outside. But finding a balance of something that you can wear that's cute around the house that you can maybe still wear out that's not these, you know, or even old raggedy t-shirts people be putting on and old raggedy just stuff with holes in it. Like, you know, even on a live I did recently, a lot of people people actually showed up and they was in there talking, oh yeah, I don't like none of the clothes in my closet. That's a problem. Like that can be a mental health issue because it's like when you go out, you step out the house, you putting on stuff that you don't like. So how are you showing up when you go out and you do stuff? Like you just showing up and wearing stuff that you don't feel good in. And that's just, it's ill. Who wants to do that? So yeah, I definitely think that is important. I follow somebody else on YouTube who is, she always talking about that. She's not in the fashion niche, but she always talks about, you guys need to get out the house and start putting on some clothes. You guys walking out of the house look like nobody love you. And, da, 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 da. And I'm like, well, at least I'm not the only one who see that. So honestly, it might not be a priority for everybody, but it is. I think that we do need to, especially, I think we're assimilating to other people's, like we have with a lot of things, religion and all that stuff, to what they do. And I don't think that's natural to us. Us being from Detroit, I don't think it's natural to us just be walking out the house looking. People in Detroit, we used to like to get dressed. We had best dress categories in our schools.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, you know, it was always about being dressed. You know what I'm saying? We like to get dressed. So I just, you know, I think we're kind of coming out of that and we're starting to align with others, you know, no, that's not even our thing for real, but just overall, yeah, I think getting dressed and putting on clothes sometimes and playing dress up, honestly, that's what I'll say. For me, I like to play dress up in clothes and put different outfits together I might not didn't put together, put on some music and just play dress up as an adult. It might seem childish, but it's really not, because it makes you feel good. It makes me feel good. It makes you feel like, if you feel like you lost it, you ain't sexy no more. You might feel like, you know what I'm saying? You might forget in all those, you know, athleisure uniforms, you might forget how you actually look when you're done up. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And it's not, I just don't think that should be something that's foreign. So that is something I would suggest in this season, especially for people as a mental health action, is to start putting some effort in actually getting dressed. There's plenty of studies done that show that when people get dressed, they're more productive, they're in a better mood. You know what I'm saying? Their energy, they're vibrating at a different type of energy and levels. You exude different things. But when you walk in the house and you just half ass in it, you know, and I don't care. Yeah, you don't. And it shows, and you read that in your energy. Yeah. So we need to stop with that. And I would, yeah. start putting effort in getting dressed. That was something I would definitely say.
Yeah, I mean, I like that. I mean, I think it's very, very true. Like, I just think about how I start my days. I can tell you how productive my day is going to be if I actually wake up and got dressed. If I get dressed, if I put some jeans on a Monday or a Tuesday, oh, baby, I got business to take care of. I got shit to do. Even if, I mean, it could be, it's just a different vibe when you actually put on, especially if I put on something. Don't let me think I'm cute. But babe, I'm running every errand. I'm getting on every Zoom call.
Gives you a burst of energy.
Email.
Yeah.
You feel good. You have on, you kind of walk, you know, and you walk, you show up that way. You show up that way, like, you know, like even taking a shower is like people who, like, I just, you know, I mean, I know a lot of people is a shower at night person. I just cannot just be refreshed for bed and just, you know, stale all day. Like, I be needing that freshness in the morning to wake me up, you know, and I get it, a lot of people do it for, like, especially you got hair going outside, but even like, this is not even going outside, right? This is most people working from home still. So,
yeah.
I don't even know if that's it. I just think people don't really realize how beneficial it would be if you actually got up and showered and put on some fresh lotion and fresh deodorant and fresh underwear and put on some jeans, put on a shirt, put on some earrings, you know, moisturize your face. Like, bitch, if I moisturize my face, my day is going to be a whole another kind of day.
It's a different type, exactly.
Than the day where all I did was wash my face, brush my teeth, and threw on my gym shorts and a button up for the camera.
Yeah, no. And then especially like people in relationships, especially women or gay men that's with a, you know, with another man. I don't know, and I'm not trying to say anything against women, or that's not shade. I just know for a fact that men are visual creatures. They like to see stuff that looks nice, and they like to see their partners looking nice. Whether you're with a man or a woman, they like to see you looking nice. So, you know, women be like, I don't even sit there and care and everything like that. Yeah, but your man do. And he tired of seeing you walk around looking like that. I've heard when we talked to, when I did that masterclass with the lady at La Perla, she said there's actually men that comes into La Perla and buys their wives lingerie. Like, they come there and they're like, I want my wife, I want to see my wife and all these things. And the women actually come bring the shit back. Like, I'm not gonna wear this. Your man wants to see you in something pretty and nice, and you gonna bring it back? Like, I'm not gonna wear this? Girl. Like, I don't understand it. I think that's disrespectful a little bit. Like, your man wanna see you, he's telling you something. Like, he want to see you. Clearly, you are wearing probably some bra and panty, non-matching bra and panty that probably don't even fit properly. Yeah, boy shorts. Probably wearing his shit. Yep, or they wearing his shit. They wearing his basketball shorts and his, I like to wear my man clothes and stuff. Like, he don't want to see you walking around looking like a nigga. He want to see you look all done up. And then you get mad when he liking some Instagram girls, models, shit. So, yeah, we need... But even men on with men and other men, you know what I'm saying? There's cute stuff you can buy just to be walking around the house in, because men are visual. They like to see. So yeah, do that.
Yeah, I think you should always. I like, you know, for me to get, and we talk about fashion, and tell, like, you know, I decorate myself with my durag and basketball shorts because I know, you know, I can make it look sexy. You know what I'm saying? Or I feel like, I know my good ones and my bad ones. So I know when I'm really, you know, trying to show enough print, but not too much print. But you get what I said, or what underwear or what, you know, but that, you know, it goes to say that that's a part of all that, right? Like, that should be intentional in some kind of way. But yeah, I definitely feel like clothes and like just all types of daily regiments of like skincare and fashion and all of that. I think that plays a vital part of our mental health, especially like you said, during this COVID, like getting a lot of people out of that, you know, corona funk, you know, and that, you know, and it's hard because it's easy to go back into it, especially, I mean, like for me, it's been raining all week, you know, like.
And I struggle on those days.
Yeah, it's just like, child, it hurts. But, I mean, when I say it hurts, it really, it drags the motivation to get up and get yourself together. So I think that's definitely a mental health action. I know for me, it's being outside more. And I know you were the king of going on walks before. I just be like, girl, oh, it's just too hot to be out there going on walks, all that dirt. And, you know, I'd rather, you know, be in the gym. Like, not that I didn't like walking. I'm not typically, I haven't been a nature person in my whole life. I've done a lot of nature things, a whole bunch, but like to walk every day. And that's not, you don't even have to be nature, but just outside, just being outside, like, ugh, dirty, you know, and that was, that was my mentality. But I think Corona, again, a lot of our lives have been changed due to COVID-19. And one of the things I got from that is really, but then being with my partners, the walking factor, and really enjoying not literally the act of really being outside, but the act of being outside. So not the physical, like the dirt and all that, but more the environmental, like walking through neighborhoods, walking, you know, through businesses, seeing, you know that this, you know, cafe is not open on Mondays, but you know, it's blooming, you know, it's busting through on Tuesdays. You know, the CVS is going to have that water you might want to buy when you're on your walk today, or you're passing that hotel, or you're going through this neighborhood, or you know, you see the kids, you see the people getting off of work at a certain time, like actually, I don't know, like experiencing your surrounding is really incredible in a lot of ways, because we can live in places and never know what's really around us, right? Like never, if it were, you know, it's just like, I drive this way, I go to work that way, I did it that way. I couldn't tell you anything about my surroundings. And what I've grown appreciative since Corona is walking, is literally walking around my surroundings. It's so much beauty and humanity in a lot of ways, that not knowing nobody, but seeing everybody and getting exercise and just being free, like putting on some shorts, some short shorts or some briefless shorts, and putting on some walking shoes and putting on some AirPods and just becoming one with your environment. I think that has brought me so much peace on a lot of busy days, you know, not good or bad. It could be a good day, but it was just a lot of, I put on them jeans early. So it was a long day. So by the time I go on a walk, I transitioned out of those jeans and put on those shorts, the athletic wear, I'm then able to move my day along, like calm down, peace, and relax and work, you know, and work out, but walking. So I think that has really, finding that thing that I really enjoy. I did it today. I broke my toe. I think I told y'all. So I hadn't gone on a walk in about like 4 weeks. And today I went on a walk and I was like, I just really love walking these neighborhoods. I try to do different streets every day and businesses. You know, it gets scary sometimes, you know, sometimes you go too late, you know, you don't know, you know, but I love it. So yeah, so I think that's one of the things for me is, and as you see my theme, peace, rest.
Yeah.
You know, trying to contradict the chaos of living sometimes. Yeah. So walking has really become that for me.
Yeah, I think I agree with you 1,000%. Now, have I done that since the pandemic? No, but I'm not against it. It's not like it's went away. And I might've said it on a podcast, but yeah, I'm all about, you know, once post-pandemic, I'm all about being door to explore because and because especially in Austin, it's really good to do it in a city that's alive. That is like, cause during the pandemic, they were still building stuff. You know what I'm saying? So it's still like Jayden was over by that new soccer stadium, and like it looks totally different over there now. So you know what I'm saying? These are all things that you can do when you go out and explore and just get out your house and just walk around. You know, it's free now. You don't have to buy anything. But I think for me, that's what I want to do. I want to, you know, go and like figure out different areas and find out stuff on my own. You know, like, as I said, I would be a horrible tour guide if somebody came to Austin and I'm not even from here. So it's not like I'm one of these people from here and don't, you know what I'm saying? Oh, I'm from here. I don't, you know, I don't want to know nothing about the city. I'm not from here. So I should be all up in everything. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I think that's good, and that's definitely something I'm gonna put back. Well, now it's getting super fucking hot though, but maybe if I go early in the day or later in the day and just go to one spot and walk around just to see what's there, because I like finding new spots and seeing stuff being built. I'm into that kind of stuff, so, and it does something for my mental psyche too, and it makes me feel a part of the world, because being on the internet and being in it, you know, even on YouTube and stuff like that, that's a different thing. It's different when you're actually out there experiencing it. What is, when this one girl said, she said, Instagram is teaching us to all be, live like we're in a fishbowl. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get out.
You have to get out the fishbowl.
Yeah, you gotta get out the fishbowl.
Like
a fishbowl.
Like the whole world is happening. And like, it really is. Like, you're swimming around in it and you have to get out.
Yeah,
it is. Wow. Social media is like the fishbowl. Yes. And I really, one of the things I do want to work on my action, and I've been saying this forever and I have not been able to do it, is decrease my social media intake. It's just so hard. It's such a distraction. It's such a distraction for me.
Yeah.
I cannot lie. Huh?
No, I wasn't saying anything, but you know, a lot of people use, I know a lot of people that uses the screen time feature on the iPhones. It's a lot of people, entrepreneurs I follow, they are strict. Like, I turn my screen time on because I only allot myself 2 hours on social media and then that's it.
Yeah, so. I'm gonna have to just start doing that just to get, you know, I don't want to do it around my 11. Maybe if I could just figure out how to do it around my 11 to 2 time, where I'm allotted to do that and not on there during the day. It's just hard though, because I guess when you post, it's hard because you want to know what people saying or who's liking it, but you know what I'm saying? And so, but yeah, I just need that. I wish I could do it. Like today, I spent the first 30, well, I post today. So that's what it was. So when I post, it's like a rabbit hole.
Yeah. It
takes an hour to get out of it.
Yeah, I don't, I get stuck on YouTube. I wouldn't consider it, it's not social media, but it's a video search engine, but it's still me, you know, that's my TV. So sometimes I do that too much, but yeah, I definitely need to cut back because I'm trying to be just personally more of a producer than a consumer. So that's my whole thing.
Okay. I'm feeling that you want to be more of a producer more than, yeah, because if you don't have time to consume that much, if you're making,
yeah,
I agree. So yeah, I need to figure, I probably want to ask you later how to set up the limit. What else is something? So you're walking. I don't know what else, but I guess.
No, it's, but I mean, the cliche ones, like, journaling and writing stuff down every day. Like, some people get up and they write down 5 things they're grateful for every day, or some people do it at nighttime. Mm-hmm. Some people just write down, some people have, write it, some writers, we talked about this before, what do they call it? The writers, it's like writers just get up and they just write for like a certain amount of time, or not even a certain amount of time, just write. It's like a writer's dump or something where they just write shit and they don't, it's no purpose, they're just writing stuff every day just to keep that writing muscle mm-hmm. going. Some people do stuff like that. So, I mean, that's all cliche stuff though, if you ask me.
Yeah, I mean, but I think it's effective if it works for a lot of people. I think, I definitely know that writing is the ultimate game changer when it comes to like going from awareness to action, if it applies. You know, I think a lot of people are just, and especially now, right? You know, so when we say write, are we saying typing?
Oh yeah,
you know, I mean, like, but does that have the same effect as writing, right? When you're actually typing versus physically handwriting, I know there's probably some science out there around it. So yeah, I think that is great. Any artistic, or not even artistic, any form of expression, right? Whether you're a musician, whether you're a writer, whether you're not either one, but like to sing and like to write just because you like to do those things, and it kind of keeps you. Of course, music has always been my outlet. I give myself some music times to powwow and shut off from the world and just put on my own mini concerts. You know, that's important. Like, last night I tossed and turned. Oh.
This is, you're gonna actually act like this is your self-care time now.
I'm on an emotional roller coaster, loving you. I sung that about 4 times yesterday, but so yeah.
I think that's important to do too. I know one thing that a lot of entrepreneurs are saying for people to do, because and some of them do need to do it, is you do need to do stuff like that. Like I said, play dress up, but I have concerts while I play dress up, because our music is always a part. It always will be. Like music was one of my first best friends, and it will always be one of my best friends. So I still get my music on. I still discover new music. Like literally, I'm somebody who actually uses Shazam, this Shazam feature on my iPhone. I use that. If I see somebody in their story, they playing someone. Well, actually it tells what the song is, but sometimes you might hear a song and they don't tell it what the song is. What's that song? You know what I'm saying? I go to my Shazam. What's Shazam? What's that? You know what I'm saying? So I think for me, that is, I think that's important for a lot of people doing. My point I was trying to make was, I think that a lot of people need to maybe incorporate and having more fun every now and then. I think a lot of people just are uber serious. And I think people need to start figuring out some ways to have fun, like, and, you know, not feel any kind of way about it. Just, you know, because it's a lot of stuffiness, just stuffy. And I know the world is serious. It's a lot of serious stuff going on, but we have to remember to have times to have fun, whatever that might be for you. I seen a group of entrepreneurs had a game night the other night, and it was a whole bunch of, it was real Black excellence type of thing. It was just all these Black people in a room playing games. I think that's cute. And I think that's a good way to kind of, you know, let your wig, you know, let your little lace front loose a little bit, let your wig down and have some fun a little bit. Cause I think with just, you know, I think the world is serious, and I think people are taking that in and they being too serious. Have fun sometime. Twerk a little bit.
Twerk a little. Yeah, you know, I mean, I think that is a great way to really go from awareness to action, is to have a little fun or figure out what that is. Like, be silly, loosen up, let it go. Put your activism hat on tomorrow. Put your advocacy hat on tomorrow. Put your work hat on tomorrow. What are all these things that's making you, you know, be in this serious, you know, like you said, the world's serious. There's not really a lot of room for games. So that's why it's more important than ever before to find time for it, because they're not really allowing us to have room for it. Mm-mm. You know, we think about us, everything that's going on to us, everything, the oppressions, the bills, like Austin now is about to criminalize all those homeless people. All those homeless people that they just allowed to be to camp and live freedom. And I ain't about to get serious, but now they all about to could be going to jail if they continue. They ain't got nowhere to go. No homes. But y'all literally just voted to get rid of all these people, you know? And so every day is a reason not to find joy, reason not to just let our hair down. So that what makes it even more important to find that time, because there's very little space for it, unfortunately. So you have to find it. You, like you said, let your hair down, twerk a little, get out your high horse.
Yeah.
You know, you ain't gotta be the next Amanda Seals today.
Yeah, no.
Leave that for her. She's probably gonna be that every day.
Yeah, no. Don't people be, and they have to stay on top of that stuff and be the first person to say something about it. And then, you know, they probably got high blood pressure and all kinds of stuff going on. I know, like me, this Saturday is one thing that brought me joy than the panoramic, that I was like, you know, I am not unapologetic about making sure that I'm loyal to this, not loyal, but kind of loyal to Versus. I'm kind of loyal to Versus because I remember the Stevie or not Stevie. Why I want to talk about Stevie J, Babyface and Teddy Riley. You know what I'm saying? Like how much joy that brought just us as a community. So I'm like, you know, this Saturday, I'm going to get dressed. I'm getting dressed and I'm going to watch Versus. I'm going to be cute sitting watching Versus. And, you know, and that might seem corny to some people and it might seem lame, but I don't give a fuck. It brings me joy. It makes me happy. So,
cute. We should do like a get dressed and do, I don't know, a pregame.
I'm here for it.
For the,
and we can listen to they're gonna play all the music, but we can just listen to, you know, pre-game to their music before they come on.
Mm-hmm. Might as well. The Escape and SWV. Luckily, I mean, it's them. So, I mean, they B-sides is good enough for me. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't get the new last Escape album, though, on Apple Music or Tidal. Did they take it off?
Is it off now? I haven't checked.
You can find it. When you, I tried to find, I was trying to play, that last album without Candy,
and I could have sworn I was listening to one of my 2000, you know, those playlists, those your favorite playlists from 2021, 2019. I love those. I love going through those because I was looking at listening to 2017. I'm like, what was I listening to 2017? I'm like, oh, I was surprised. I'm like, oh, I was listening to this. Oh, I love those playlists.
I'm gonna have to go. I remember. I only see it at the end of the year, so I'm gonna have to look and see.
Oh yeah, no, they're there year round. Yep. Hold on. Wait a minute. I don't know, where's their picture at? Am I spelling their name right? It's Escape
with an X.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's what. Oh. But oh my gosh, but why would they take that down?
You didn't see it either?
No, it's not here. Yeah, hold on, let me see if I can find the song. Maybe because sometimes they don't have it in the actual catalog. Because Brandy, one of Brandy's albums is fucked up on Apple Music. Never Say Never. It's fucked up. You have to get to it a weird way.
Mm. Yeah, I'll be trying to figure out what be going on. I think, yeah, I don't know how sometimes. I think some of them be like uploaded on Apple Music through some other source and not the actual artist source, but.
Okay, so hold on. Let me see if I can go to the album.
So first, I found it. Saturday. You found it?
I found it, yeah.
What is it under?
Oh, Escape 3. Are you looking for that?
Yeah, how did you find it?
Are you typing Escape 3?
Oh, no, I just type in Escape.
Yeah, Escape 3.
But why? Because they changed their name.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. But yeah. Like Edmondson was saying, this Saturday, that Versus has been, I guess, like all these experiences. Like I said, I guess how I even opened up my check-in around like Pose and the ballroom stuff yesterday, that was like, I was like a little kid in a candy jar, right? Like, it's just happy. I'm just happy for Black and queer content. I really am. I can watch it all day. I am a consumer because I love it. To the point of, and I love it in different forms, right? I love that the Versus is what it is, that, you know, I get on my Thriller app and have to, you know, then I can, you know, either watch it on TV or I can, you know, cast it. It's so the now, right? Mm-hmm. Of everything. I think that really has been a good thing for the Black community as far as mental health, just joy. Joy in our lives Versus has been probably the biggest concert for us.
It has been. I mean, like, and we've had like little spiritual awakenings, like with the Erykah Badu, and that one was like a different vibe, honey. I never forget that one. I know everybody got their favorites, but that one, we was all in there. Like, we all felt like we had smoked some weed in that one. Everybody loved everybody. Swiss Beats told him he loved him afterwards. I mean, it was a thing. So, but to have that type of connection via an app, you know what I'm saying? And we felt kind of together during that time. I just felt like we were so together and not together. So I loved it. So
yeah, I think it really helped. And I remember, like, we already talked about it, but that one was so spiritual for me because I was on the road in the backwoods. It was the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. You know, and then listening to those, and then trying to keep up with you and keep it up with the IG. And it was just an experience. So I just think us being celebrated, loved on, showing love to each other is definitely a part of like moving from awareness to action. So I just think And I think we went over a really good like list of things around really your, you know, like self-care. And I try not to use that word so much, because that phrase has been like dug into the ground and dug and buried and, mm-hmm. and brought back up. But I guess really just, you know me, like I really want to do with Western America for our campaign. You know, right now we're getting videos for people who want to talk about what, you know, what is mental health action to them and what steps do they take. And I just think love, and I know like that could be cliche, but I don't ever think talking about love and or really challenging people to show love more is cliche, only because we really don't do it. Like we really don't talk about it. It might sound cliche, but it's one of the most unutilized. Now I would say I think we in general show love, but it's not intentionally. I think it's the most unutilized intentional practice that we have.
Yeah, that's true.
That I feel like could really drive this idea of awareness to action. Because all of it is really, at the end of the day, start with the love of self.
Yes.
You love yourself at a certain level and continue to grow in your love for yourself. These things that we're talking about would be easier to do, right? They would become more natural. They would be, you know, like you said, if you love yourself a little bit more, you would put on clothes, right? You know, and it's not that you don't dislike yourself, or you hate yourself, but just loving on yourself a little bit more. You know, going out and being with nature, getting out, allowing your body to smell, to feel, to move, is a selfless act for yourself.
And I think it's one that we're supposed to do. I mean, I'm not trying to go there, but, you know, I think as human beings, we're supposed to go outside. Like, you know, I don't think this all this thing with technology and stuff, they trying to keep us in the fishbowl. But no, we're actually supposed to connect with nature to some degree, I think. But I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No. That's all I was just saying. Like, that was just my thing. Like, I guess my last point around action, awareness to action, is really driven through, like, showing love to yourself foremost, and showing love to others. I think I just really believe in like intuition, and that you get out of life what you put into it. You know, I'm still working on that. Like my energies sometimes, I think I have a really good balance, but you know, I really am intentional about believing that as much bad energy I put out, I know I'm gonna get it back. So I really try to I try. I'm human, you know, but because I know that for everything I put out there purposefully with ill intentions, I know it's going to come back. Because I really try not to do that. It's going to affect my mental health. It's going to affect somebody else's, you know, clearly that's usually the intention. Mm-hmm. But I know it's going to affect mine eventually. Yeah. So that's a practice that I do. So just love for yourself, love for others.
Yeah, I'll just end it. I'll kind of piggyback off that and just say, I agree with that. But I think, you know, kind of piggybacking off of Dr. Shauna's video on Sunday that she did, I think that, you know, it is, if you are having issues loving yourself, or I think that some of that toxicity of not being able to love other people, it does start from you, and it can be from your environment or things that you've experienced in your environment before that you're just carrying around, that you're not doing anything with, that it's just there and you're acting like it's not there. You're trying to black it out and act like it don't exist, but it do. And everything you do shows that it does exist, but you don't think it. You're just trying to act like it, you know, it's like a pink elephant in the room with a lot of people. And I think that, especially us, I think that we have to, and I'm sorry, listeners, when I do us, or I'm actually talking about us Black folk, but I think that, and I'm not trying to single us out. Everybody clearly has issues. I'm not trying to say that we're the only ones that have issues. I'm just saying that, you know, I think a lot of conditioning and white supremacy and just a lot of things have just affected us in so many negative ways, where sometimes, and then things that happen within our homes when we were young and all the horrible stuff, stops us from being able to love on one another. But I think the key to that is making sure that you address it and talk to somebody professional about it. If, you know, there are, we do have resources. You can talk to somebody professional. If you're in Austin, what Samira has, you know, you can reach out to us and we can partner you with somebody to go talk to. But if that, you know, just to see, maybe that's not your thing, but at least you could, at least you're trying to do something about it. Because I think that this whole, you know, some people act like they don't want to love on people. I don't want to love nobody, you know, F that and all that kind of stuff. I think that's a problem. And I think it's something that we need to start addressing. And it's going to start with you. So go be like Mike, look at that person in the mirror, have a conversation and figure out what you need to do to be able to love on people better. Because that's the only way that the world is going to be better if we started from at home with ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, and yes, to piggyback on that, the greatest form of action of is, you know, taking advantage of resources. If you can't figure it out, if you can't, and we know that all these things are easier said than done for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And in a lot of ways, you're going to need to talk to somebody. You're going to need some guidance. You're going to need a therapist, a counselor, a spiritual coach, a life coach, a peer support, you know, recovery, you know, physical breathing, you know, retreats and exercises. Mm-hmm. Ancestors being able to call on them. So everything is definitely led through like community building, and all of those resources are part of it. So yes, one of the West in the Mirror has availabilities for those who are wanting to take that action. We have the Connect to Care program, which is a program we would connect you to a form of mental wellness services, culturally affirmed through our own work that we've done with these providers. Outside of connecting, we will also pay up to a certain amount, up to 3 sessions. Also geared toward centering Black trans wellness, we have our program, the Trans Connect program, which does the same thing. We connect you in as well as compensate for your fees for taking action for your mental health. So, yeah, we'll probably be talking a little bit about mental health for the rest of the month. We got all May and stuff like that, but we definitely wanted to spend this episode as we kick off our campaign with MTV, West in the Mirror, Mental Health Action Day, May 20th. That day will be double special for us because we will also be launching a webinar that we have with the Black ACE Institute out of Los Angeles on that day. So yeah, West in the Mirror, westinthemirror.org, WHATSINTHEMIRROR.org. Application is available. No requirements needed, but fill out the application. And that's all I have. I know where you can reach me, so I guess I'll share it with you guys since, you know, I want to be selfish about this because I would love you guys to follow me on all my social media platforms. I am Mr. Telltales, MisterTelles on IG and Twitter and YouTube. And of course, you can go to my website, MrTelltales.com. On Facebook, I do have a Mr. Telltales page, but I still keep it rocking with, you know, who I am and what I do, and that's Tyrese Daniels, so hit me up there. But you can also follow my page at Mr. Telltales. MSN, how can I get with you and hear more about all of this fashion and mental health intersectionality?
You can read, well, my social media where I hang out is Instagram, Essence Style, so that's pretty much it for me. If you want to talk to me, DM me there. Or my website, EssenceStyle.com, that's my digital home, like Beyonce, you know, I like to put stuff there as well, you know, because I own it. So, you know, that's important that you be putting shit on platforms that we own. But anyway, that's it. If you want to reach me, that's where I'm at.
All right, well, love to all y'all. Holla.
Holla. Carry the torch, I'ma hold it down.